that. So once again, the devotees who want to catch the ferry have to leave at 1 o'clock from here. Is that correct? From this room or from the hotel? From this room. Okay. Aha. We won't keep you. I mean, everyone knows where the boat is, who has to go to the boat. It's just here, the same place from where we went to the salt water lake on the island. Good. No, I want to say properly goodbye to you, and not that you have to leave in the midst of your death meditation. And then come like a dead person to London or wherever. So I need to time everything right. My dear devotees, this morning's session will be about a very powerful tool in our chanting. It has been seen that in all spiritual cultures, people become mindful of their own death, not because they are afraid or they are too dark-minded in order to live a fulfilling life or so. No, meditation about one's own death helps us to, let me say, separate from what is essential, to separate the unessential things to what is essential. I would like to show this to you by means of a little demonstration. Imagine here is your point of birth, and at the end of this paper, maybe we can have a little longer. Well, it's a written paper. Let us, it's white paper. Mm-hmm. Here is your point of birth, and here is your point of death. So when you look from your point of, from the point of being, of coming into being, coming into existence, into the future of your life, you see mostly the small little things which are ahead of you. However, if you become mindful of, however, at the end of your life, when you stand, let us say, a little bit before your death, and you look back on your life, you see something else. You don't see the small things. You see the big things. You ask yourself, have I lived properly? Have I used my opportunities? Have I obtained enough knowledge? And more than anything, have I loved enough? This is what you ask when you look back at your life. When you look in front of your life, you see, well, soon I will go home. Soon will be prasadam. I have to catch the speedboat. Have I really put everything in my luggage? You see all the small little things which are really not so important. The things which you feel you have to organize in order to live your life. You agree? It's this perspective which you have when you turn around. Wow, another life is lived. Then this perspective will allow you to see the big things, the major things in your life, the things worth living for. But then you're already at the end. You have only a little bit more to live, maybe a few more months or a few or one more year. So in spiritual traditions, what the monks do is, or what the spiritual practitioners do, they go in their mind towards their end and look from there into their lives to identify what really matters, what really is essential, what really is important. At that time, and in this way, they bring their realization into their life and live an important life, not a life which is wasted with the 1008, no, 1011 small things. This is Lao Tzu's remark of the ordinary life. The life which is entangled with the 1011 small things. Just imagine yourself, you are on your deathbed and you're thinking about your life. It doesn't matter at that time if you caught the speedboat, if you put everything into your backpack, what you needed. There's no problem if you have forgotten your toothpaste and so on. It really doesn't matter what so-and-so said when you left your home early in the morning and your neighbor said, "You foolish person." It doesn't matter at all to you. You don't even remember this. So if you want to find what is important, if you lose the oversight over your life, go to the great teacher, Adair. He will help you to see things very clearly. This is how this meditation can help you to identify what is essential. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? Perspectives always help us to either see or not see. When I have this going into our death is a helpful perspective. Therefore, Prabhupada has so often quoted Chanakya Pandit that a learned person should always think he could die at any moment, because then he will really identify what is important to his or her life and really do things properly. Good. So it is with this background where I would like to now bring you to your death. It sounds so absolutely, maybe I should use a different word. I mean, let me say this again. I mean, this cannot be, imagine there's a journalist here, and then the speaker said, "I would like you to," "I would like to just make a little exercise with you, which will help you very much to come in touch with what really is important for you and for your life. This is an exercise which we will do in preparation of our Sankalpa ceremony. It's a ceremony where we will look for deep inspirations, and where we will make our intention for the time after the retreat. Yes, where we will fix up an intention, and where you will take something with you. One thing before I forget, the Sankalpa ceremony, when we start, I would request those of you who leave earlier to come immediately so that you can participate, so that you are free and you are not in a hectic state of mind. At this time, I do not wish to take questions, because I want to really go, we really need to go inside this meditation. So maybe we can just for 1 minute open all the windows, Mathurananda, other windows. We just need the fresh oxygen. This morning I heard a kirtan from Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj on the earphones, and I always remember how Maharaj used to so often say, die to live, you know, let the unimportant life go so that there is place for the life of the important. Okay, I think now we can just close the windows, please, and yes, I think this is another place.
Oh, this will be so good. Oh, Krishna.
Now, it's very important when we do these meditations. I will help you to relax a little bit so that your consciousness is more open and that you have more access or connection to your subconsciousness, which knows so much. In our subconsciousness we are really very, very have a lot of knowledge and information. So I want to say this is not for relaxing, really for going into sleep. The idea is something else. The idea is that we free our mind and our consciousness from all the tensions which are stored in the body, so that we are free to go into it. Now, I request you very, very, very much that when someone starts to I would say another word, chrichate, to snore next to you, which is possible after such a long and intense retreat, kindly, just affectionately wake him up, because I couldn't continue. It's even now difficult for me to continue, because in my mind I always see Madayanti breaking out in uncontrollable Bosnian giggling, and that Madayanti, we should have made a movie about you. You were flying with laughter yesterday. So when I see Madayanti, I start already, to break up. I mean, you can all break up, but I should be on course. You know, I'm supposed to be your guide. So, good. This time we will remain sitting. So if you want, please begin to get yourself comfortable as you reasonable you can. Maybe you want to adjust something in your sitting. We will be sitting for about 20 minutes or so. Some of you might even like to lean back against the wall, or don't forget, whenever your neighbor starts to make his midnight riot, Raga, tell them to. Maybe we do a little stretch like we learn, take the hands and then just spill it over. Really, ugh. Good. Kindly sit tall and begin to relax. We will be going on a fascinating journey now. But remember, please check if all the windows are closed properly. Let's see. I request you to go to the lower legs and the feet. Best is if you watch your breath. Just watch it. as it comes in, the breath goes, wanders upwards in your nostrils. When the breath comes out, it moves downwards. Just be with a while with your breath. When you breathe in, just feel how energy fills you. And when you breathe out, just see if you can relax a little bit more. When you breathe in, just experience how you feel a little bit more peaceful. And then you breathe out and relax a little bit more. You're very safe in this room. It's a very safe atmosphere. So when you breathe in, feel a little bit more peaceful. When you breathe out, feel a little bit more relaxed. Please feel and experience how good it is to relax the tensions in your life. Please relax your facial muscles now. When you breathe out, empty your face of all expressions. Now relax your shoulders. When you breathe out, relax your arms. Just appreciate what an expert you are. In relaxation, you do it every night as you go to sleep. But now you just relax the body without going to sleep. Relax your upper body. Relax the area of your pelvis. Now relax your upper legs. You breathe out. You go again to your lower legs and the feet. Relax them. Experience. We will go now into our future. But start to enjoy imagining yourself in your special place. Maybe it's a place in India. Maybe it's a place at home. What is your special place where you feel very happy, very peaceful? Maybe it's a place right here where you're sitting. Enjoy imagining yourself in your special place. Maybe a place in nature, perhaps on the coast. And experience whatever you experience. We'll continue in a few moments. Now, very gently, begin to imagine that you are growing older. How will you look when you are around 40 or 50 or even 60? Imagine yourself growing older and older. And slowly begin to approach the age in which you will die. Begin to imagine and think about yourself 1 year before you will die. How is your health? And what is going on in your life? Ask yourself a question 1 year before your death. Are you ready to die? Or are there still things to be done or said or things to be arranged? If you're not ready, what do you need to do or say at this time, when you are before your death, to be ready to go? Someone to say goodbye to? Someone maybe to say, I didn't mean it like this, I always wanted to tell you such and such. And now begin to imagine or think about yourself 6 months before your own death. What is now going on in your life? Where are you? And at this time, are you now ready to go? And if not, what do you need to say at this time to be ready to die? Now, begin to imagine yourself 1 month before your own death. And how is your health? And what is going on in your life? and again ask yourself the question. At this time, 1 month before your own death, are you ready to die? And if not, what do you need to do or say that you are ready to die? And now begin to imagine yourself 1 week before you will die. And how are you feeling? And what is going on around you? And at this time, 1 week before your death, are you ready to die? And if not, what do you need to do or say at this time to be ready? And now, begin to imagine and think about yourself the day before you will die. How are you feeling? And what is going on in your life? And at this time, the day before you die, are you ready to go? And if not, what do you need to do or say at this time, the day before you die, to be ready to die? And now, begin to imagine and think about yourself on the day of your death. Where are you? And who is there around you? And what is being said? And ask yourself this time, on the day of your death, are you ready to die? And if not, what do you need to do or say at this time to be ready to die? There is a free time now. Everyone has gone out for a moment, out of the room or the place where you are. You are for yourself. And your thoughts go back to the life which lies behind you. What incident do you remember right now, which awakened you to your spiritual life? Was it maybe a meeting with a devotee? Or one shocking experience which made you turn away from material life and search for God? Remember clearly what incident awaited you to your spiritual life? There may be many, but kindly focus on one. Remember clearly the feelings you had at that time. Remember your connection which you felt with the Lord. Remember also your vision of your possibilities. Now bring your mind to the year that followed, years that followed. Think of some early spiritual teachers you had and the different sacred places that had inspired you. Look back and go to the few situations which had been given you deep insights into your spiritual life. Maybe it was an encounter, or perhaps something like a very wonderful kirtan. Maybe it was a pilgrimage to India, or when you left your country to go to another country to make a spiritual experience. And now I request you to also go to the unexpected lessons, the trials, the tests. Perhaps it was a death of a beloved person. Perhaps something went wrong. Perhaps a test was too difficult for you and you didn't see clearly how to deal with it. Remember the spiritual practices which you did during your life. The chanting, the praying, all these wonderful things you were allowed to do in your life. Enjoy this meditation. See it as a story, your own story, the story of your own life, a journey. Finally, bring your journey to this moment, the time of your death has arrived. Begin to imagine how your energy is beginning to leave your body. Flowing up and up and up, the energy comes to the top of your head. As this happens, remind yourself to relax. There's nothing fearful about this. It's as natural as leaving a room. The room of the life which lies behind you. Relax and breathe calmly and peacefully. And as you breathe in, feel how the energy goes up, 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 then out through the top of your head. Yes, you have now left your body. See the body from up. And remind yourself that you are just fine, nothing threatening. Everyone you care about is just fine. Yes, there is some sadness because one says goodbye. But you have said so many times goodbye. Think about the wonderful things which were in connection with your spiritual life. Uplifting things. Wonderful things you were allowed to experience. You are up and above your body, looking back down at your dead body, and very gently and very comfortably imagine how your soul, together with the life energy, begins to move up, up above the earth. You move higher and higher above the earth. You move so high that you can see the curvature of the earth bending. You go comfortably higher. You see the atmosphere is bluish, a lot of oceans. You go higher together in that energy of life which surrounds you very much like a protective light. Look back. Go to the events of your life one more time. What are some of the appreciations that you have? What are some of the things that you are truly grateful and thankful for? What was good in that life? As you are there with that light, life energy, looking back over your life, what are some of the regrets that you have? Something that you really felt you missed an opportunity, something which went wrong, when they are not as strong as you want to be. What, from this perspective, are some of the things you wish you had done differently? Maybe it is something in your spiritual practice. Perhaps you could have been more present in your relationship to Krishna, or in your relationship to Krishna's devotees. Or maybe you could have been more kind to people around you. Please think about this one thing. If you had your life to live over again, next time, what would you make truly important? What would be the focus of your life? Should you maybe have taken more time for spiritual life? Maybe you should have become more involved in spiritual community. Or maybe you should have gone more into solitude, be more for yourself. Maybe you should look for more service to others. Or is it maybe time to devote yourself more to your own situation, like your family? Something happens, something unexpected. You hear a voice. It's not yet time that you leave your body. You can return back and comfortably and very gently you begin to imagine how your soul moves back in the direction of the earth. The earth comes closer, almost like with a zoom. Very gently, very comfortably, you're coming back over this building, the building on the island of Ish, our hotel. And your soul, with the life energy, comes back into this room. Imagine how the soul, very gently and very comfortably, comes back into your body. Start to breathe deeper, please. Slowly come back to the awareness of your body. Maybe you move a little bit around with the body. Then very gently rub your hands, very gently. Place them on your eyes. Then while you move your hands away from your eyes, look into your hands as if you are seeing them for the first time. It's your life. You have just returned from a journey. And yet there was something in the journey. You had thought about what you would do differently if you could live your life all again. Actually, you are in the fortunate situation. You can now make a difference. You have all the time before you. Your whole life is before you. You know what you should do, what is so important for you. Why not? I mean, you should do this now. So how was that? Interesting, isn't it? We did this meditation in the Menla Institute. That's a big institute in North. It's called the State of New York. There's a town of New York, and there's a state of New York. It's beautiful forests. And it was really the first time where I did it a little bit more elaborate. And the devotees in America had never done such exercises, or had never thought about that death. It was for many a very intense experience. I remember many were crying, you know, and I was trying to conduct the meditation, and I personally feel there is great benefit in this type of meditation, and I'm doing it regularly, either voluntarily or involuntarily. In this life, I have tremendous desires for experiencing the life in its fullness in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, I'm sometimes not taking enough care of the physical body. And then whenever you come to your limits and you begin to think, how much more time do I have with this body? And that time, you want to make sure that you are engaging your life in the essential things. Have you seen some essential things which you would like to invest more time in? There we are. Fantastic. You really look different. I must tell you. You look like in really a different space. And that's what a retreat wants to do. But I really want to move you now to a space where you can make the full use of the retreat. I would like to focus your attention on a little writing exercise which we will do before we enter the Sankalpa ceremony. Malini Priya, maybe asked you for the last time with your beautiful handwriting. there is an exercise which helps you to reconnect with the holy name. An exercise which I recommend you do. It goes like this. You have two things in this exercise. One half word, the holy name is my. The holy name is my. Dum, 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 and the dot, 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 dot. The holy name is my, exactly. And then please make dot, 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 dot. You have to fill that in. And then because. I would like to fill in the dots. The holy name, you could say, is my friend because he's always there with me. Or you could write, you know, I'm giving you examples. Thank you, Malini Priya. The holy name is my greatest challenge because he seems to tell me that I can do much better always. The holy name is my way of connecting with Krishna because when I chant, I feel Krishna's presence. Please write your own thing about your holy name. Please do free writing. Just write. Is the exercise clear?
Yeah.
You will be asked to share what you write with the group. Still have pens? Gone. Hare Krishna. So, Hare Po. We have two more guests welcome. Vrindavan Prabhu. Vrindavan is there, yes. And Sunchita. We have three more guests. And Sunchita's violin has come. Oh, yeah. Huh? Good. You will see. Can you feel the how peaceful the devotees are? They have just died. And been reborn again with their chances. And I'm a little bit in a, to be very, 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 very honest with you, I'm just trying to bring you out again of the ocean. And it's not so easy. We don't want to go out. It's really amazing how you can become so deep by such a your whole energy changes, and I don't know what to do with you now because I need to for another exercise when you're all my life and I must Bodhidharma and more essential and so on. So thank you very, very much. I must tell you a little honest, it's the first time in the seminar where I don't really know where I should go now. I thought it's good to connect with the holy name. I would like to do the last exercise for this for today, and we also have to do the last exercise. I would like to request Govindananda to come forward. Hare Krishna, Kahini Kalavati, Dobro Doshri. Please come, sit with us, and give us your auspicious presence and association. And who were our Madhati Pujaris again? Marayanti, who will not laugh loud. Marayanti and Sita Thakurani, you please come here. We will do a special exercise with you now, which concludes really the exercise part of our japa retreat. We will request you to formulate a sankalpa. A sankalpa is something which is a deep expression of an intention. A sankalpa, for instance, would be, from this day on, I will always speak the truth. That would be a sankalpa, a deep intention. Now, you all have been participating in the japa retreat, and you have all made your experiences, and I request you to make a sankalpa, an intention, before our deities Radha Kunya Bihari and the Gonitai deities and all our deities, sankalpa which will protect your japa after the retreat. You will see. I have my sankalpa band from the last japa retreat somewhere. I don't know, was it in India or? So it's very difficult for me to remember. And you know, when you have such, you get a sankalpa thread by some pujaris who will speak mantras while they fix the sankalpa thread on your arm, and then you just pray to the deities, my dear Radha Kunya Bihari, I wish to give the rounds which I chant my maximum concentration, or you could make such a sankalpa, my dear Radha Kunya Bihari, it is my sincere wish that I apply this knowledge about chanting from my sacred space to you in my life. Or you can, but there are some realizations which you have made during this japa retreat, and you can now convert these realizations into a sankalpa, an intention. It's not a vow like the four rules and regulations which we have vowed. It's just an declaration of your intention which you put before the deities. So our pujaris, this is now important for you to listen. Marayanti, please give me this way. What we will do, we have four pujaris, we will mix this turmeric with this rice, which becomes very, very auspicious. And, smells really like the kitchen. We will mix that. Please do Govindananda, you can do that there. And then, please, pujarijis, listen. You will take some of these strings, like maybe this much. Is this all what we have, Banu Nandini, or do we have more? One string is for one person. Acha. So you take this, and while the person looks to the deity and makes his sankalpa, you take it and bind it around his arm. Yeah? Men get it to the right side, the right arm, and ladies on the left. It's called actually wrist. Then we need maybe another pujari. Are there Ajman pots? Where? Yeah, purify. Oh yeah. Who? Good.
Here will be sitting Sachinanda Maharaj and Govindananda Prabhu, because we are many and we want to make it very efficiently. So it will be nice if one devotee comes, you can take a look, he gives his right palm or wrist, and while the thread is being bound around his wrist, he is praying to the deities. When this is finished, he offers his obeisances just here in the front, and then he goes out here. And the second devotee, while being at Govindananda, is doing the same thing here and goes out here. So the same will do for Matajis. That's it. And we will ask Mahojwala Prabhu to lead with the bhajan, so that it's very sacred.